Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect, and today I'm here with a great group of people from Virginia. They're from the Richmond Area Partnership, and they'll be talking more about that particular partnership. And first, I'd just like to introduce everyone who's here today. So first, we have Ted Heck from the Virginia Anti-Violence Project. Hi, Ted.
Hello.
And Aston Bradley from Ban Free Clinic.
Hi.
And we have Stacey Vicchetti from Safe Harbor. Hi, Stacey.
Hi.
And hello to Jackie Small from Virginia Anti-Violence Project as well.
Hello.
And finally, Quillen Drew Musgrave from the Virginia Sexual and Domestic Violence Action Alliance. Hi, Quillen.
Hi, Ashley. How are you doing?
Great. Well, let's get started talking about this wonderful partnership that you all have, the Richmond Area Partnership. Can you all tell us more about what this partnership is?
Sure. This is Ted. We started out as a group of seven organizations here in the Richmond, Virginia area, which is basically Central Virginia. And we were interested in doing a number of things together, including providing some direct services for LGBTQ people who are experiencing violence, whether it's sexual violence, domestic violence, stalking, hate-motivated violence, et cetera. And we worked together to put together this proposal with Office of Violence Against Women. It includes components of developing materials, doing work for prevention in the communities, for sexual and domestic violence mainly, but also for dating violence and stalking. And we also had a special emphasis on working with communities of color in this area and also with transgender communities, including people of different ages, especially older adults and youth. Each of the different partners has a different emphasis, so I think we'll go through and people can explain all the different parts.
That would be great.
I am the community advocate with Virginia Anti-Violence Project. This is Jackie. Virginia Anti-Violence Project sort of helps in a lot of the different grant objectives that we're working on. So we're not entirely responsible for all of them, but for different pieces of the project that some of the other organizations are working on, we're kind of backing them up and sort of helping them along in the process of, for instance, developing materials or curricula. And then in addition to that, we are providing direct services to survivors. I do the advocacy with folks. And in addition to that, we do a lot of healthy relationship skills workshops and classes, and then also trainings with other service providers. So we're sort of have our hand in like every single part of the project.
This is Stacey. A lot of time in mainstream programs, we talk about making our services as accessible as possible to the queer and trans community. But what we know as a collective here is that for the most part, LGBTQ-identified folks are not calling mainstream programs. I think that's sort of the paradigm shift. How can mainstream programs support community-based, culturally specific organizations that are LGBTQ specific, provide those services that are marketed specifically to the queer and trans community, that are sensitive and accessible and rooted firmly in that community as opposed to the mainstream anti-violence community? And so the services that Jackie provides that can be everything from support groups to accompaniment and advocacy work, whether that's over the phone or in person, all that happens through a really specific LGBTQ lens. And the Mainstream Coalition and Safe Harbor, our jobs are to help support the capacity of the LGBTQ-specific organizations that are a part of the collaborative. We're not primarily responsible for any one objective. We have everybody else's back. It's all about lifting and supporting the LGBTQ organizations that are a part of the collaborative. We try to marginalize ourselves and center the LGBTQ experience as opposed to the mainstream anti-violence experience.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really interesting and exciting the way you just mentioned that. It's about centering the LGBTQI community and not ourselves, who frankly have been the center.
Yes, we're quite used to being at the center.
This is Afton, and at Ban Free Clinic, we are one of the only free clinics in Virginia that has a specific transgender health program, and so our main role was looking at ways to reach the transgender community in terms of violence. Myself and our trans advisory board helped to create POM cards to help reach the trans community in our clinic and outside, raising awareness in terms of recognizing violence that is specific to the trans community and also universal, but looking at ways that partners and other people in transgender people's lives can perpetuate violence through using wrong pronouns or misgendering folks or preventing them from furthering their transition and supporting and validating their identity. Part of what we use those cards for is to begin a dialogue with each new patient we have, and it provides a good opening conversation. And then the back of it advertises the LGBTQ safe anonymous line for them to call if they are experiencing any type of violence. Another key role FanFree has is that we do a lot of community outreach in LGBTQ specific clubs, and we do a lot of health outreach in the community in general. And so we always bring those cards with us to try to engage in dialogue as we're doing safer sex education and HIV prevention and other outreach into the community around healthcare.
Yeah, and Afton, I just want to comment that I think that's so important, especially for our Prevent Connect audience. I think a lot of times we talk about the fact that sometimes we tend to forget about providers, and especially healthcare providers, and the fact that healthcare providers can do prevention.
Yeah, this is Afton. I would say that definitely is a critical piece, and a critical role that I myself play in our clinic is having those dialogue open with our medical providers, and as we do trainings as well to other providers in the community and bringing along these tools that we've developed with the partnership to help try to educate and advocate for providers to start learning what language and how to open those dialogues, and whether it is just having paper materials that we've developed to be available to patients to start that dialogue and to make providers feel more comfortable in terms of looking for those key factors when they're beginning to take on a patient.
This is Quillen with the Action Alliance, and our role, like Stacey mentioned, was a supportive role, and we also shared a staff person, Maria Altonen, who couldn't be here with us today, and we also launched an LGBTQ warm line that Afton mentioned and is particularly geared towards folks who are looking for resources or looking for someone to talk. We found that the list of resources in Virginia is growing, but is limited, and we saw the LGBTQ helpline for partner abuse and sexual assault could be a resource in the absence of face-to-face resource where there might not be anything available, but a caring voice might be just enough. The representatives from SONG, Southerners on New Ground, couldn't be here with us today either, but one of the more exciting pieces of the project that I'm really looking forward to seeing come to fruition is an effort we put in to kind of gather stories of LGBTQ people living in the South, and Virginia in particular, and trying to figure out where they draw their strengths, their resilience, and how folks have experienced different kinds of violence in their lives, what they've experienced when they've maybe tried to reach out for help or maybe didn't reach out for help, and how people continue to draw strength in community. And we're going to promote that, and we just felt like that was a really important thing to be able to include in this project. We also worked to develop a resource that's a printed poster specifically for service providers on things that they need to consider or better understand when they're providing services to LGBTQ people of color, and it highlights more in-depth experiences, and that will be going out in mass distribution soon.
You know, for us here at Prevent Connect, unfortunately, it's a really unique partnership that we've seen, and we would love to see more partnerships like this happening throughout the country. So what has it been like to work together?
Challenging.
This is Ted, and I would agree. There's definitely been challenges. I think it's also been a great experience because there's so many different strengths that are brought to the table, and it really has been a rich and rewarding process in that. One of the really great experiences that we had was when we were able to get some technical assistance from Casa de Esperanza. They helped us put together the collaboration charter. The work that we did to come up with all of the different components of that really helped us understand all of our roles better and how we can work better together.
I've been doing anti-violence work in mainstream organizations in Richmond for a number of years, but just having this collaboration has made it really awesome in terms of doing advocacy work.
This is Quillen, and I think for me being at the coalition, it's been weird because our coalition seems like it's been at the table in LGBTQ stuff for a while, but in navigating political landscapes in Virginia, sometimes the coalition wasn't always able to show up in the way that it wanted to on the inside. Being a part of this collaborative has reminded me that there is an envelope that needs to be pushed, and it's still hard in mainstream spaces. and particularly when there are so many other things kind of going on and vying for resources and prioritization, and we're having internal dialogues about LGBTQ needs being prioritized over other folks' needs. And this coalition is like a reminder that this work is something we have to keep showing up for. And I think that's something that coalitions often get pushed and pulled, and particularly when it's written in a grant.
This is Stacey. So this very call is a representation of our struggle. And the collaboration charter that Ted mentioned earlier was supposed to be a living document. And we haven't necessarily done the best job of keeping those agreements that we made together. So as we've gone through the process of a reapplication, some of the partners have shifted. And I think some of that makes sense for the different pieces of the project that are going to happen moving forward. But I think we have to be real and honest. And those of us that come into the space, especially with loads of privilege, we got way more work to do than what we've done. I feel so personally and professionally proud that I even get to be in a space with these folks, and I also just recognize that we still have a lot of work to do.
This is Ted again. One example of some of the challenges that have been a part of the work is the different capacities of the organizations and being able to have the time to do the work in addition to all the work that they're already doing. That's one of the reasons why some of the members have been more involved or less involved at different times. We're always looking for ways to balance that out, but by the nature of funding and demands on time, it's always going to continue to be a problem.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.